This is Douglas, and as you can see, I'm wearing a mask. And this will tie in directly to our lesson today. We're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, and yeah, we'll be talking about hypocrisy. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." As we've seen in the series already, the lifestyle demanded by Jesus in Matthew 5 is difficult. And that's why it could be tempting to pretend, to fake it. And it's also why we may be tempted to put on a show. Jesus identifies three different areas: giving, praying, and fasting. Giving. He says, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others." That's verse 2. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." That's verse 5. "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so their fasting may be seen by others." That's verse 16. We're going to be talking about the principle and then focusing on giving to the poor in this talk. And then next time, we'll look at the other two areas of fasting and praying. Really, it's all about motivation. It's all about heart. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God cares about our heart. He's not pleased. He's not impressed by religion. He wants a relationship. And Jesus knows our tendency to make ourselves look better than we really are. And I'm sure you understand the point. Jesus, in fact, says that we earn treasure in heaven when we do the right thing. He says that we'll have no reward from our Father if we act in a certain way simply to impress other people. Now, this is not to say that we somehow earn our salvation, but we do receive rewards of some kind in heaven, whatever that means. Yet we lose those, we forfeit them, if our behavior was just to impress others. So right away, it makes me ask certain questions. One is, of course, why do I do what I do? Would I still share my faith? Would I still do other Christian things if no one was around to see me? Would I pray as much if no one ever asked me about my prayer? Am I using external ways of measuring my faith, maybe sub-Christian or non-Christian metrics to evaluate my faith, or am I really dealing with the heart? Am I putting on a mask? Who am I really? This is not the mask I normally wear. If I'm wearing a mask, you'll have a hard time even knowing it. But I'm in Nepal, and this looks like the mask is some kind of a demon, so I borrowed it from the hotel. Well, let's talk about almsgiving. That's the first of the three areas where Jesus calls us to sincerity and modesty in the performance of our religion. This is what he says: "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will reward you." There's a lot here. Jesus didn't say, if you give to the poor, if you give alms, if you give to the needy. He says, when you do it. This has always been considered an important part of the Christian life. Somehow, in modern Christianity, a lot of the giving is simply to support church buildings and full-time workers. Historically, this is not the case. It's to help the needy. We're not to trumpet our piety. I doubt any of us would blow a trumpet, literally blow a trumpet, so people would look at us while we give to the needy. And yet there are ways we can blow our trumpet, can't we? A hypocrite is a play actor. A hypocrite wears a mask. It's not necessarily that he says one thing and does another. It's more that he wants to be seen. And so he's got this mask. He pretends to care about the poor, but doesn't necessarily care at all. There is a reward in heaven when we give to the poor, but no reward when we simply want to impress others. When Jesus says the left hand and the right hand, you know, they shouldn't know what each other's doing, I think that's simply metaphor. It's like cutting off the hand in Matthew 5:30. The focus, of course, is the heart, not the hand. So our giving should, as much as possible, be in secret. Sometimes we can't help, but, well, there are other people around and they'll see what we're doing. But ideally, we give in secret. This is the view of the ancient Christian church, which I would like to illustrate. And we can start in the second century. Aristides said, Christians do not proclaim in the ears of the multitude the kind deeds they do. Instead, they're careful that no one notices them. In fact, they conceal their giving just like one who finds a treasure and conceals it. Tertullian, he's a blunt one. Our compassion, he's speaking to the pagans, our compassion spends more in the streets than yours does in the temples. That was actually quite true. He notices how the money for the poor is spent. Tertullian says, they support and they bury poor people, supplying the needs of boys and girls without means, without parents, and of old persons confined to their houses. These gifts also help those who've suffered shipwreck. If there happen to be any of us in the mines, he's talking about the punishment of being sent to the mines, banished to the islands or shut up in the prisons for no other reason than their faithfulness to the cause of God's church. They are supported because of their confession. So Tertullian explains, this isn't just a generalized giving. This is to take care of people who need help. In the ancient world, if you were poor, you had no one to bury you without a family. He speaks of old people confined in their homes. People have been shipwrecked. It's not the modern world where there was insurance and social programs. Here's another fellow in Rome. Be generous to the blind, the feeble, and the lame, and the destitute, for they will die unless you give your gifts to them. They may be useless to men, but they are serviceable to God. So people that our world has written off as useless, people who are disabled, they're feeble, they're blind, he says, they actually will die unless we help. Oh, there's so many great quotations in the early church about visiting widows and orphans, ransoming brothers from pirates, from barbarian raiders, burying the poor, including abandoned strangers, again, taking care of people at death. And one of my favorite quotations, it's not from a Christian, it's from an emperor. And so you may remember that the first emperor to favor Christianity was Constantine, and this is in the early 300s. And pretty much from that time on, all the emperors spoke positively of Christianity. But there was one who tried to reset the clock. This is about 25 years or so after Constantine's death. And this fellow's name is Julian. Oh, they call him Julian the Apostate. But he wanted to bring back paganism. He was not successful. But listen to what Julian says. And this is in a private letter to a friend. He said, why then do we think our meagerness is sufficient? Do we not observe the kindness of Christians to strangers, their care for the burial of the dead, and the seriousness of their lifestyle? Do we not see how this has done the most to advance their cause? So he's saying the fact that the Christians are generous is actually helping their cause. And then he continues, the godless Galileans do not only take care of their own poor, but of ours as well. So he's irritated. You know, the Christians are not just taking care of their own poor, but they're making the empire look bad. So that's actually quite a strong endorsement from a fellow who was a non-Christian. And because the Christians did not believe in the gods, he calls them atheists. You know, these are godless Galileans. Well, of course, in the Middle Ages, people got confused. Soon people were thinking that if I just give money to the church, that somehow wipes out my sins, erases my sin. It's a very mechanical view of debts and credits. In the Reformation in the 1500s, Martin Luther, I think he overreacted. And he created a new version of the gospel where living a righteous life and obeying God really didn't play much of a role in salvation. He dilutes what Jesus taught about almsgiving. And today, what do we have in modern Christianity? Well, it's often called tithing, which is unfortunate because giving a tithe is not a New Testament teaching. It's an Old Testament one. The New Testament, there is no tithe. And yet, giving to the poor, almsgiving, usually is not preached, very little. And I think I sense sometimes Christian leaders are afraid if we give to the poor, then we won't give to support our Christian workers or our building programs and so forth. So what is the takeaway? We're supposed to be genuine. We're not supposed to pretend. We're not supposed to be wearing a mask. We should be genuine. On the other hand, we are supposed to conceal what we're doing, not just trumpet it, not advertise it. So interesting balance there. Well, first, I think we need to resolve to give to the poor. That is just basic Christianity. Giving discreetly, secondly. No fanfare, no trumpets. People don't need to know. Most people don't need to know. Thirdly, we need to have a plan. Plan to give. Put it in a budget. And if you live in a place, there have been times we've lived in places with a lot of needy people, that we try to keep on hand some money or food or clothing when we go out to walk so that we can give. When you are donating, give to an organization you trust. That's so important. And last, study. Please study what the New Testament says about giving. And notice especially how much emphasis is placed on helping the needy compared to other financial causes. Okay? Well, you've been listening to Sermon on the Mount, M. iFaith Sermon on the Mount, N, will be the very next lesson as we turn our attention to prayer. In the meantime, let's not pretend. Let's not put on a mask. Let's be sincere. God bless you.